They couldn't have finished with a better song. The last, who remembers the last song they sang? We'll see how good your memory is. Go Talk About Jesus, exactly. Which I thought to myself was a perfect song to lead into the message today, which is the testimonial style of evangelism. And that's where you and I, guess what we do? We go talk to people about, and we tell, and the story that we tell them is not a story that we're unfamiliar with. The story that we tell them is our story. Everybody that's in here today that knows Christ as their Savior has a personal testimony, has a personal story. And no two stories are the same. Here's the sad part. We want to encourage you today that when you leave here to tell your story. Sometime throughout the course of the week, we want you to tell your story to somebody. It could be family, it could be friends, it could be coworker, it could be enemy. But it's important that you and I use this type of evangelism. And the reason that we can be so successful in using this, guess what? There's absolutely nothing you have to memorize. Not a thing. You don't have to memorize any verses, any passages. You don't have to know where to find it. All you have to be able to do is to tell your own personal story. Here's the sad part. The sad part is that in Baptist life, 92% of all believers, professing believers, those who say they are followers of Christ, will never, ever share the gospel with anybody in their lifetime. So if we were to take a look around this room today, that means basically 9 out of 10 people will never do that. Which means, and don't get mad at the messenger, but 9 out of 10 people are being disobedient. Because we're encouraged to tell our story. We're teaching these kids to do what? Go talk about Jesus. And they should and they ought to. But who even more so than the kids should be talking about Jesus? We should be. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. While you're turning there, I want to read another verse for you. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul proved that over and over again throughout the course of his Christian walk in life, that he was not ashamed, not only the gospel, but he was not ashamed to tell his story. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 26, we have the story of Paul before King Agrippa. Paul shares his story, and King Agrippa says at the end of Paul sharing his testimony, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul, writing to Timothy, he says this, so don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, listen to this, instead share in suffering for the gospel, for the good news, relying on the power of who? Relying on the power of God. Sharing our testimony, sharing our story. We need to rely upon the power of God in doing so. This morning is going to be not so much preaching as it is going to be information. Information that hopefully will help all of us to do a better job of telling our story. Telling others what Jesus Christ has done for us and in our lives. For example, personal testimonies to what Jesus has done in my life tend to be viewed suspiciously by many Christian churches. And here's why. Too much I, not enough Jesus. When we're telling our story, it's important that we tell where we've come from, how we got to where we are, and what Jesus has done for us. But who are we wanting to put the spotlight on? Who are we wanting to focus our attention on? The kids didn't see Talk About Me this morning. They said they sang the song Talk About Jesus. And what we want to do when we tell our stories, and each one of our stories is unique, we want to tell our story about what Jesus has done for us. Some of us, if we were to have the time this morning and you could tell your story would be captivating because of where you were when God found you, when you found God and you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Others of you probably may not have an exciting story because you don't have a bad background from which God brought you from or to. But the truth is, listen, there are people out there in all walks of life, there are good people out there who think that because of their situation and current condition, they're okay. And they don't need a Savior. But the reality is everybody needs a Savior. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. And all of our stories, all of our personal testimonies are important and appealing to someone. But we must consider the biblical examples of evangelism that begin with what? The story of what Jesus means to me. The psalmist in Psalm 66 and verse 16 wrote this, "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me." I could stop right there this morning and spend the rest of the time that I have this morning telling you what Jesus has done for me, not only prior to giving my life to Him, but what He has done after I gave my life to Him. Many of you could do the same. And the reason I know that I've sat around the coffee table, I've sat around the dinner table, and I've heard your stories personally. But you know, there's a lot of people who haven't heard your story. There's a lot of people who need to hear our personal stories. Need to know what it was like for us. They need to know what God has done for us personally. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19, we find Jesus' advice to the healed gives us Gerasene demoniac. Listen to what he says. He says, "Go home to your family and tell them how much what? The Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." He said, go home and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. One of the things that Pastor Dave and I do is when a person makes a decision to follow Christ is to immediately contact someone or immediately go and tell someone what they've done. You know what they're doing? Immediately they're learning how to do what? Tell their story. Where 8 years old, 10 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old, they're telling their story. And they're telling how much the Lord has done for them and how the Lord has had mercy on them. We have the story in John chapter 25, the story of the healed blind man. It says this, "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Wow. What a testimony. Paul, whom we read about in Romans and who we read about here in 2 Timothy, listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul often told his story when he pondered his apostleship. He said, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man," the truth is Paul was a murderer. He says, "I was shown mercy." We don't want justice, we want mercy, amen? He says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." You know why Paul was such an effective communicator, why Paul was so effective when it came to seeing people's lives change? Because Paul told the story of what God had done for him. How God had changed him. How He had made him, literally made him over. And yet, and at the same time, we find as we read the New Testament, that at least half the books of the New Testament are attributed to his writing. Even the beloved apostle, the disciple John, listen to John's approach to his own inspired writings in 1 John 1:3. He says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us." You're never too young. And you're never too old to begin to share your story. Grandmas and grandpas, let me just say to you that let me just ask you, how many in your own family know your own personal story about how you came to know Christ. Some of the most fascinating stories that I still enjoy hearing are stories of, in my own family, when my mom and dad share how they came to know Christ. When my dad shares that for 33 years he was never able to tell his mom that he loved her, because his mom, he found out very early on growing up that his mom did not want him, that his mom intentionally fell down a set of stairs in hopes that her fall would abort the child that she was carrying, which would eventually be my dad. It was only after he came to know Christ as his personal Savior that he was able to call his mom and tell her for the first time in his life that he loved her, really loved her, and accepted her for being his mom. Now listen, when I hear my dad tell that story, and even as I tell that to you today, I still get goosebumps thinking about that. But let me ask you, grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads, how many of your kids in your family know your story of what Jesus did for you? Yeah, that's a great, listen, that's the easiest audience in the world to start with. They're family, too, they're a captive audience. You know what? One thing I've learned, kids love hearing stories about days gone by. I love hearing stories of days gone by. And let me ask you, are you missing a great opportunity not to sit down and open the Word of God with them, but to sit down and to share with them your story of what God has done for you? Yeah, I believe this morning that Christ followers' personal testimony can be a powerful preparation for sharing the gospel with an unchurched person. Here's why. As I reflect on what God does in my life every day, I shine the light clearly on my Savior God, and I spotlight His dramatic rescue plan for all people. We can all testify today, tell what God has done for us in our personal testimonies, in our personal walks, how God, even after we gave our life to Him, how He has come through time after time after time. Even as we maybe didn't walk with Him the way that we should or as close as we ought to, He was still there for us. How is your testimony today? Every Christian's conversion, listen to this, is a dramatic turnaround. But notice that not every Christian testimonial has to involve dramatic life turnarounds. When I was growing up as a kid, it seemed like the only testimonies that you ever heard about in church were those who came out of the gutter, or those who came out of a life of sin, or those who came out of a horrible background. Those were the only ones that ever stood up in front of church and you heard about. And honestly, I couldn't relate to that. You know why? I didn't have a horrible background. I mean, yeah, I was a kid, I had a life of sin, but I was going to church. Going to church every week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Listen, in our family growing up, if they had revival and it was five nights, you were there every night. If they had prayer meeting, cottage prayer meetings the week before revival, some of you will know what that is. Others don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But anyway, those of you know, we were there every single night. I dressed the part. I looked the part. I carried my Bible to church. But guess what? It wasn't until I was sitting in a Sunday school class one morning on a Sunday morning that I realized that I was just going through the motions. I had never personally asked Jesus into my heart and life. I had never did what the kids think about. I had never admitted to God that I was a sinner. I never believed and I never confessed until that day, June 2nd, 1973, when I prayed to receive Christ at the end of Sunday school class. That day. But guess what? I didn't have a horrible life that I came out of. I was in church the week before I got saved, and guess where I was at the week after? I was in church. But guess what? Everybody doesn't have to have a dramatic lifestyle that they come out of. The truth is, you and I sit here this morning, we know a lot of people who consider themselves to be good people. And we consider themselves to be good enough to be able to go to heaven. But guess what? You and I know that good people are going to die and go to hell. They are. My kids were asking me the other day, we were watching a 10th anniversary of Princess Diana's passing away. One of my kids said, Dad, where do you think Princess Diana is? I said, well, unless something dramatically happened there at the end of her life, she probably died and went to hell. Here's one. My kid said, Dad, what do you think about Mother Teresa? You know what my answer was to them for Mother Teresa? The same thing. Nobody will argue that she did great, good things in her lifetime, that she made multiple sacrifices and all. But understand this, unless Mother Teresa made a profession of faith in Christ Jesus today, she's not in heaven. She's in hell. That's just the plain, clear, and fact of it. You and I need to understand that not everybody's going to have a dramatic life change to talk about. But everybody does have a story to tell. A story which is uniquely your own. Remember this. The question many unchurched have about Christianity is not so much, is it true? It's more like, does it work? In other words, does it really make a difference? Does it really matter? Is it enough to bring about life change? Life change that causes you and I to live differently. Life change that causes you and I to act differently. Life change that causes you and I to make different decisions based upon that life change. Christians may tell their stories of how gospel peace and security have all made a difference in the way they endure the setbacks of this life. You and I go through a hardship. One of the questions people sometimes ask is, how do you do it? How do you do it? And our answer is, you know what? If it weren't for Jesus Christ, I couldn't do it. When you and I face a difficult time, people ask, how do you do it? The response is, there's no way I could do it if it weren't for Jesus. How do we do it? Well, we're able to do it this morning, those of us who are Christ followers, because we know the difference He makes in our lives. The testimonial style of evangelism expresses the gospel less as a subject. Listen to this. Less as a subject and more as a life. Never underestimate the commonplace and never forget the gospel. You see, here's the key to this. People are more concerned about what they see in your life than what you tell them. And you and I know this morning that the only Jesus, the only story of redemption, the only story of admitting, believing, confessing that some are going to see is not going to come from the pages of the Word of God. It's going to come where? As they look at what? That's right. As they look at our life. They're not so much concerned about what we tell them as much as they are concerned about what they see us do. For example, I guarantee your neighbors know your schedules. And I guess after, from now they probably have a pretty good idea when you leave, where you're going, and when you come back, where you're going. For example, I know that when we first moved into our neighborhood that nobody would talk to our kids and nobody would stop by. Because real quickly, word got out there was a preacher in the neighborhood. So literally, for the first 3 years, none of the kids in the neighborhood would play with my kids because they were preacher's kids. Then guess what they found out? We're normal people. Our kids are normal kids. They like to do the things their kids like to do. When I was growing up, we called it hide and seek. Now they call it what, manhunt? They call it manhunt. Different name, same thing. Sounds more exciting. But here's the key. The key is not so much what you and I say as it is what you and I live. And how is our testimony? How are we living our life? Are we living our life in such a way that people know there's something different about us? And don't ever think that nobody's not watching. Trust me, they're watching even when you don't think they're watching. They're watching even when sometimes we aren't doing a very good job of living. They're watching. And when you have an opportunity to share your story with somebody, understand that you must listen to the prospect first so that you can relate your story to the prospect's life. It's very important for you and I to be good listeners, to hear what they're saying. And you know why? Outside of these walls, you and I know this morning, there is a lost and dying and hurting world out there that is seeking and searching for answers to everyday common problems. And you and I know that the main ingredient missing in their life, it's not money, it's not a better job. The main ingredient missing in their life is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you this morning to practice telling your story, making sure that Christ is a centerpiece and a change for the better is evident. Making sure that Christ is a centerpiece and the change for the better is evident. I never had anybody tell me that they ever regretted making a decision to follow Christ. I've never had anybody tell me that they regretted that decision. But I have had people through the years tell me they regretted having waited so long. Waiting too long. Listen, we're going to baptize some kids here in a few minutes. You know what's so neat about that? If the Lord should tarry, they've got another 60, 70, 80 years to give their life to Jesus and to live for Him. There's a lot of us in here that can't say that. There's a lot who can't. But we can say that whatever we have left, we can use it for His honor and His glory. Amen? We can use whatever time He gives us, whatever time we have left, to tell our story. I know that my kids probably get tired of hearing Dad tell his story. But you know what? They need to understand that, guess what? Mom and Dad go through, Mom and Dad went through the same things they went through. Hey, listen, I went through times of doubt. Did you? I'll make a confession this morning. I prayed more than once to receive Christ. I wanted to make sure it took. I did it, seriously. And don't be surprised if young children somewhere along the way who make a decision somewhere along the way follow that up with another decision just to cement the decision they made earlier. It happens. You know what? Here's my position. I'd rather them to make sure and know than to be uncertain and go through life wondering whether or not. Because you and I know there are people who've gone through life not knowing for sure, being uncertain. And listen, I don't know today who's here and knows Christ and doesn't know Christ. I know this, that if you are here today and you do know Christ as your Savior, you have a personal story. This is a style of evangelism that every believer can be a part of. And I want to encourage you, if you've never told anybody your story, I would encourage you to take the opportunity to tell your husband. Maybe your husband or your wife doesn't even know your story. What better audience to begin with? But you know what? The more we do it, guess what? Easier it becomes. The more we tell our story, you know what I believe? The more opportunities God will give us to continue telling our story. And you know what else? Your story is unique to you. My story is unique to me. I'm just thankful this morning that God gives every one of us who knows Him a story. Our story. That other people can relate to. I have a couple more things I want to say, but before I do, I just want to pause right here for a minute so that those who are going to be baptized this morning or those who need to get ready this morning can come on down and get ready. Because guess what? These kids are telling a story this morning. They're telling the story that they've admitted, they believe, they confess. And guess what? They're telling another story in that they are identifying themselves with the body of Christ. It's so awesome to see them at such a young age give their heart and life to Jesus. But church, as you look at them, remember this. You have a tremendous responsibility to pray for them, to encourage them, you are an extension of the home and the family to teach them the truths of God's Word. Who knows what God will do in their lives down the road? Who knows what will transpire in their life? And who knows that who is sitting among us today that God is not working in your life and impressing upon you in your life that you need to do something with your life for the Lord? Maybe more than you're doing now. Maybe more than you've done in the past. The truth is, young or old, it's never too late. The truth is this morning that we all... Listen, could you imagine this morning what would happen? What would happen? Forget the Romans. Forget all these other plans that we talk about. But could you imagine what would happen this morning if a church just grabbed hold of this single idea that our method and our mode and our operation of reaching people for Christ is going to be that when God gives us the opportunity, we're going to tell our story. What could happen? Real quickly this morning, who knows this morning what we desire as Crossroads Baptist Church for our testimony to be? We've got a testimony. Amen? What is it that we desire our testimony to be? It's real simple. It's three parts. Okay, girls, okay. Love God. Loving people. Well, let me just say that went over like a lead balloon. Let me just say this, though. Guess what? If you don't know what our testimony is, I dare say there's a very good likelihood that the world doesn't know what our testimony is. And we want our testimony to be that we are a church that does what? Love God, love people, and serves the world. That's what we want our testimony to be. And guess what? The only way the world's going to know about that is if we do what? Tell them. That's the story of Crossroads. First Baptist and Curlew are now Crossroads, and we're Crossroads because we want to do a better job of loving God, loving people, and serving the world. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be known for. When people mention us, we hope that what comes to mind, you know what? That's a church that loves God. That's a church that loves people, and that's a church that has a heart for serving the world. If that's our testimony, praise God. And as Pastor Dave mentioned earlier, here's our church. This is our future church right here. And we thank God for every single one of these precious lives that He gave us during Vacation Bible School. Who knows what God has? Well, listen, let me encourage you, if one of these is yours and they never heard your story, let me just encourage you to tell them your story. Share with them what God has done in your life. Pastor Dave, you come and I'm going to go.